Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. For those of you joining us for the first time, Bad Storytellers is a podcast about a small group of amateur writers who submit and critique each other's work as well as discuss the written media we consume. It's like a book club but with a wider focus. Our group submissions are shared on our website, badstorytellers.com, and you can download them there if you'd like to read along with us. Additionally, we also accept your submissions for critique. If you would like some feedback with the same candor that we give each other, send in your submission to badstorytellers@gmail.com. Entries must be 10 pages or less. Additionally, at the end of each show, we roll the dice, pick three genres, and come up with a movie idea. Once we decide upon a name, we record the trailer for your listening pleasure. Enjoy. Welcome to Bad Storytellers, a podcast about a small group of writers in Titusville, Florida. I will be your host, Joshua LaForge, and with me today is Liam Malone.
Hi, guys.
Doug Banks.
Hello.
And Max Wessel.
Hello.
We typically start by discussing the media we've consumed in the time between this and our last meeting, and then we move on to our own writing samples where we criticize each other and generally talk smack. At the end of each episode, also, we roll some dice and find out what genre we're going to use, and we're going to workshop a make-believe movie that we record the trailer for, so stick around and enjoy that. So we've got some retractions, as always.
Mm-hmm. Again.
Yeah, as always. The Harry Turtledove series about interdimensional trading is called Cross Time Traffic, and the first book in the series is Gunpowder Empire.
I like it.
Was that it?
No. Okay. And when referencing Liam's time travel character, Pentergast, I thought the name was the same as the boy in Paranorman, which was, I thought it was Norman Pendergast, but it's Norman Babcock. His uncle was Mr. Prendergast.
Oh.
Yeah. And the main character from Hellraiser isn't Christy, it's Kirsty.
Whatever. I'm calling that bitch Christy. Yeah.
Like, I don't like Kirstie Alley.
I don't like her already.
Also, the game is not Piddlywinks, it's Tiddlywinks. That's my bad.
All right.
When we were
talking, wasn't here for this episode, so that.
Yes, you were.
That just makes me interested.
Because you were talking about pyramids and how people would trust fall all the way down and stuff.
Oh, yes.
And a guy would get shot out. And I said, like Piddlywinks? And no is the answer.
Oh, Piddlywinks.
You're gonna have to move that.
You gotta put that mic right in.
You were like literally looking away from it, like this.
You gotta, yeah. That mic's gotta. You can tilt it down or whatever.
And also, well, just try to put it between you and Liam. Like I got mine in between me and Josh.
I got mine at like my eye.
This is a bad podcast.
You're a bad podcast.
No, I mean like no one wants to hear this.
And the tribes in Ace Ventura When Nature Calls.
God damn it.
Were the Wachatis
and the Wachutu
and the Wachutus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not the Tootsies and the Hootsies?
Hootus and the Tootsies?
Yes.
No.
Correct that next week. Sorry.
All right. So what do you guys... It's been a while. We've had a lot of audio difficulties trying to get this podcast up and running. What have you guys done this past week or so? What have you consumed?
I reread John Green's Looking for Alaska, his first young adult novel.
Ooh.
Because I just wanted to reread it. Mechanically, it's just... a great book. It's a boarding school tale, kind of, but it works really well in its mechanics and how it's set up. And then I watched a movie that I have fallen in love with called He Never Died, and it's Henry Rollins as an immortal god roaming the earth.
Is he playing himself?
Yeah, he's just gruff and pissed off and over everything.
But I mean, is he playing Henry Rollins?
No, he's really mellow. He's just like, I just don't want to do that.
And I know,
like, why? And he's like, I just don't want to do it.
Don't want to die?
Yeah. No. He's like, doesn't want to do anything. Like, aren't you going to go save that girl? And he's like, no. Why would I do that? Why it doesn't matter. He's just, it's great.
All right.
Show me the trailer.
One of the reasons I love it is it makes one of the, this joke that I've had in my head for a long time. He's with somebody who finds out that he's been alive for a really long time. And she's like, hey. So what was the Civil War like? And he's sitting in a car and he looks over. He's like, I have no idea. I was in China at the time. And it's just such a stupid joke. Where, like, everyone assumes that you would be there for, like, every great historical event, but you can't possibly be.
Well, it's like, that's one of the things that bothered me about X-Men Origins Wolverine is that he's fighting in the U.S. Civil War.
Yeah.
He's Canadian.
Yeah.
You're like, what are we saying here? What about you, Doug?
We read Frankenstein.
Oh. Mm.
I forgot how short it was.
I guess depending on which edition you get.
Mine was unabridged is what it said. Yeah. It said it was unabridged and unaltered. And
literally as many words back then.
That is true.
That is factual. Yeah, actually, yeah.
But it was great. I feel like I'm going to be returning to that book for a while. Just like, I mean, not like next week or anything, but definitely like over the next few years, I'm going to keep going back to it and just to refresh because it was really good for anyone who's never heard of it for some reason.
Real emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I think I've read that like 6 or 7 times.
Yeah, this was my second time. The first time I read it when I was in grade school, and it changed a lot.
yeah, it's very different than I remembered.
Anyway, so on top of that, I saw 2 interesting films. I saw The Revenant.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
My mom saw that today, and she said it was interesting.
Yes.
I haven't seen it.
I also saw a very similar film, which doesn't seem the way at first. It's called Bone Tomahawk.
So metal.
Yeah. These are both Westerns that are kind of gory and kind of follow a very similar hero's journey outline. To say predictable makes it sound bad, but it's sort of like you see where it's going, and it goes there, and you're like, oh, that's what I wanted. So good. Yes. Like...
Cool.
Is Revenant is it a Western or is it more like a mountain man kind
it's
of thing?
It's more mountain man.
1800s.
You know, 1800s. The movie The Revenant has next to nothing in common with the real story. Like,
except for that he's mauled by a bear, right?
He's mauled by a bear and 2 people leave him for dead. That's pretty much it. Like, it's there's almost, and his name is Hugo Glass.
Right.
Is that the guy who sewed his skin back together?
Yes. Yeah. Pretty much nothing
Liam's
else
quite
in common.
That gentleman.
And but it's good. Yeah, just I just kind of wanted something more historically accurate because the dude's like revenge story was interesting. This is more like this guy has a really shitty weekend as opposed to like a lifetime. Like I'm gonna chase them down and hunt them down.
It like the whole, didn't it take him like it, Hugh Glass took him like 2 months.
Months. It took
to,
him
to
months
crawl to the nearest
months,
outpost.
Months. And This movie goes off in a very different direction. It's still good. It's a good story. It's shot beautifully. Everything about it, fine. It's just not historically accurate. But
can we make it where like there's an hour of him actually crawling?
Yeah,
the movie's almost 3 hours long.
2 months later, he sees one in the distance, and you still have to watch him crawl the hour and a half to get closer to it.
Yep. I mean, you know, you know what? I expected more crawling in this movie.
Lord of the Rings, you know?
There wasn't.
There wasn't a lot of crawling.
There was crawling. There was a good solid 5 minutes of crawling, not consecutively one after another, but I didn't know how far it was going to step off the path from historical accuracy until around that part where it's like he's crawling, he's climbing, I'm like, oh, it's great. And then suddenly he gets like a stick, he's like, and he props himself up and he starts like walking. I'm like, what the fuck? That didn't happen. He didn't get a stick. Where'd the stick come from? As if I was there.
Well, I guess it's based on a book.
But did you believe the crawling?
Yes,
was
based on a book.
Accurate crawling?
Yeah, the crawling was pretty accurate. But there's a lot of things like there's a sun subplot, like he has a sun in it, and totally didn't happen, and whatever. But Bone Tomahawk is another Western.
That name is so great.
It's a great name.
I love that name.
It's for those who don't know, it's a Western thriller. About cannibals that live in the hills that even the other Native Americans, they're just like, we don't fuck with them. Like,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's actually really creepy. Act 1, standard setup for this kind of thriller, maybe horror film. Act 2 is fucking brilliant. Like, it's like Act 2, I was texting Josh, and I was just like, dude, I'm seeing this movie. I've never even heard of it. My dad got it on Redbox, just randomly put it on. I just sat and started watching it. Act 2, I'm like... I'm getting invested in this. Like this, like they're pulling out character, like left and right character for you. And I was like ready to see where this goes. Act 3 is not bad. It's just, it's like a different film. It's like the same jump, like from, what's the movie I'm thinking of?
Willy Wonka and the
No. From Dusk Till Dawn. Like from Dusk Till Dawn has this like genre jump where it's like, it's kind of like that, where it's like the first act has that hint of it's not supernatural, so there's nothing supernatural, but it's like there's that hint of horror element, but then it kind of goes into Western, and then the Act 2 is all Western, but Western thriller, like we're going in there, we got to save him, we don't know how, it's only a few of us, and it's us against the world, and then Act 3 is just horror, like splatter horror craziness, and it's well done.
Like, it sounds like what I wanted Ravenous to be.
Yeah,
which,
so I was just going to mention Ravenous.
Terrible.
Yeah.
What was Ravenous?
Ravenous, it's a Western cannibal.
Was that made in the 90s?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's a
Civil War soldier. Got some blood in him.
The soundtrack alone almost ruins the film.
Yeah.
It's awful. Like, it's really bad. Hmm. It's like they tried to make it... Oh, they like lost their nerve halfway through making it. They're like, no, it's just going to be wacky. We'll make it wacky because it starts off so serious.
The genre jump can be good. Like,
it can be. It was just...
30 Days a Night went from like rom-com to horror.
I wouldn't say it as much.
The beginning of 30 Days a Night, the vampire movie about Alaska, Bear Alaska.
I think that's just...
Never saw it.
I think 30 Days of Night, you went into it knowing it was horror.
Yeah, but...
Whereas like this, if I didn't know how extreme it was going to go
until
the hammer drops, you know?
It's almost like Red State, where it's like...
It's more violent. It is more gory than Red State.
Sorry, I meant in the way that you don't really have a good handle on its
But even
genre.
Act 2, you know it's like a thriller and that they're going to kill people. Here, you don't see the Indians. Mm-hmm. You don't see, like, they don't even call them Indians. They call them troglodytes because they're like, they are something else. They are not normal Native Americans. They're not even... like normal people. They're big and they're just, it's scary in its own way anyway, but like they hint at that. You don't get a good look at it, and it's the whole trip journey there where like the Indians told us that it's in this, they marked it on the map, we just need to get there, and no Native Americans are going to help. They're like, no, you're on your own, we ain't going up there. So the whole thing, as they get closer, more creepy stuff happens, and you're like, this is great. I'm along for the ride 100%. But then as soon as like really gory stuff started to happen, I was just like, I couldn't tell if this movie was a splatterfest B movie grindhouse in disguise as a character piece, or a character piece that wanted to
catch that as well.
Have you shocked like they were shocked? Because they are shocked at what they see.
Yeah.
So I do think it is smarter than that. I do think it is trying to make that point, but it did take me so much by surprise that I was like, I don't know. Like, I have mixed feelings about it, but I still. If you don't mind a movie about cannibals and
oh, I don't.
One or two pretty gory moments, but everything else is handled off screen very tastefully.
Is it done well? Like 30 Days Night, the blood is beautiful.
The violence
it's
in it.
It's not like Django Unchained where you're like, what, is this a comp? Are we making fun of the fact they're
shooting? It's not making fun of. Yeah. It's just that there's a lot of violence in the movie beforehand, even leading up to it, that's off screen or very tastefully done, not over the top. But then once they get into the end, in the act three, you see at least, I'm going to say, two really over the top, but not comedic, violent offenses. And you're just like, whoa. First of all, one of them I don't even think is physically possible. And if it is, it's just not that easy to do. This is the shock of it, of them seeing it. But they react accordingly, you know. So it is.
I'm sold.
You know.
I'm gonna have
to check that out. Sorry for our Scandinavian listeners, pacifists.
What?
What's that have to do with cannibals?
Our commenter from somewhere.
What's that?
Remember that commenter from somewhere?
Oh, on SoundCloud, left a comment.
Yeah, I don't remember what was
the. It was just like
wow.
Yeah, it's just wow.
Is all it said.
Well, it was at the moment I was like, oh, I don't care about that character. I just care about the violence. Just
like, then you're gonna love this one because this is. But the character's great. I definitely recommend seeing it. And if you think you're squeamish, just turn it off in Act 3, and it's still a really good movie up to that point.
All right. So what about you, Max?
I saw Things We Do in the Shadows, the New Zealand New Zealand vampire movie, and I loved the hell out of it.
I heard it was really good.
It's really good. It's about vampires who have to live together as roommates.
Now that's a movie that could have a genre shift, because
that's like faux documentary, comedy. Yeah,
I haven't seen it, but
there's another good vampire movie that is a documentary that does do horror, but. This
Interview with a Vampire?
No.
It's not a documentary.
He's documenting the thing.
Yeah. No, there's a character who is
I know. Yeah.
It's a narrative.
That one was like a Belgian vampire movie, but this one is New Zealand. It's just straight comedy all the way through, and I really enjoyed it. It's one of the guys from Flight of the Conchords does it.
Jermaine.
Did you read anything? I hope your Harry Turtledove
I'm still reading the Harry Turtledove, but I'm also reading a book called Windhaven. By George R.R. Martin and Lisa Tuttle. It's a fantasy sci-fi, like futuristic sci-fi that turns into fantasy. It's about people who crash land on a planet and the planet is very uninhabitable and there's no metal to mine. So the only metal they have is from the spaceship 700 years ago. And it's really interesting. He's really good at world building.
Yeah.
Carries over.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
you guys read about him missing the deadline for Winds of Winter.
But so what?
If you've been reading the books
you're used to
but
it.
But as an author, I don't want to be held to standards like that, and I'm not going to be mad at someone else who doesn't want to be.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, if he doesn't want to be, he shouldn't sign a contract, you know. But that's for
he was contractually obligated to meet the deadline
For HBO and selling the rights. He has to put out the books and stuff.
HBO can suck it.
I don't know, man. They're doing pretty good. I think they think you should suck it.
And you know what? To keep the show going, I'll suck it. Screw it. Let's go.
If it means Game of Thrones or no Game of Thrones, whip it. Whip it out.
Whip it out, old sea captain man.
I didn't watch the last season. Was it season 5 of the last season?
I didn't. I heard that there's spoilers in the
show that's not
in the show that's not in the book.
I like the books better than I like the show, so I'd rather read the books than then watch the show.
Exactly. Although that's frustrating sometimes too.
Yeah.
As for me, I saw Star Wars again. I saw it a second time.
What did you think?
With my significant other.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as fun the second time. Very watchable movie. It makes sense why it's going to beat Avatar.
Mm-hmm. What did she think?
She dug it. She thinks it's the best one. She's not a Star Wars fan, and I think for non-Star Wars fans, that is definitely the best one.
It is the most accessible,
I mean, it's just you just jump right in. There's a character who, if you've never watched Star Wars before, acts like they don't know anything about Star Wars, so that's great. Mm-hmm. You know, Finn is 100% the guy you connect to.
And Rey, too. She doesn't seem to know all that much about Star Wars.
Well, except for Rey knows all the schematics and how to pilot and all that stuff. She's like the ultimate Mary Sue, but hey, you know what? That's fun. So screw it.
So was Luke.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, not like this, though. Not like Rey.
Yeah, but yeah, no, exactly like Rey.
No. Luke had to learn things.
When?
When he had to put on the helmet and learn how to fight off.
Yeah. Within 2 hours that they're going to Alderaan?
He had to go to Dagobah.
And he was there for a whole couple of days before he's like,
you're agreeing with me when you say this. Yeah. You understand? No, like, she didn't have to do any of that.
Yeah, well, and Luke was also kind of a upstart bratty kid.
A bitch.
You know, and then he had like a huge personal loss that his aunt and uncle were killed and he saw their burnt corpses.
He didn't care.
No, he totally cared. That's like, dude, he was so bummed out. And that's when he's like, I'm with Obi-Wan now. Then when Obi-Wan dies, he's like, fuck, everyone around me is dying. Yeah.
He was way more upset about Obi-Wan than he was about his aunt and uncle.
Well, now he's out in the middle of nowhere and he has nobody to guide him.
Yeah.
And Han Solo is not a good role model.
No.
Well,
I also...
if you want to be a scoundrel.
I also finished the book Grey Lensman, which is like the proto-Green Lantern
Mass
story.
Mass Effect. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mass Effect, all that stuff. And it's fun. It's just... It's not a deep think piece. It's just here's an action packed thing, and then here's the next action packed thing, and it's much more like Green Lantern than anything else, because it very much he just lives a new life to solve a new crime. And he's like, I need to get to the bottom of this evil race called the Boscone, and he will just be like, okay, now I need to be an asteroid miner for like 6 months. So he just goes and becomes an asteroid miner. And it tells you how he builds up his reputation as an asteroid miner, what it's like being an asteroid miner, and then the different things he does to try to get into people's heads so that he can find the information that he needs and then disappears. And it's interesting because the book is just a series of stories like that where he has to become somebody new and he has to meet somebody
kind of like
new.
Quantum Leap?
Actually, yeah. Mm-hmm. Except for he doesn't actually...
Become them.
Right.
He becomes like them.
He just physically goes there and goes undercover
and then
learns things. And then he also fights people and pulls out gun, like... Basically, he has two pistols that are called telemeters, and they shoot like laser beams and stuff. And he's the best crack shot with a telemeter. it is so 1940s that it goes full circle back into being kind of amazing again. Like the language used, it's like, and then he loosed an Aldebaranian curse that would blister the ears of any sensible people around him. It's so great.
That's awesome.
I recommend it, but it's not a deep book. Yeah. It's not awesome. It's just fun. It's like what you want Buck Rogers to be like, you know.
Yeah, I love that kind of stuff. Space adventure, space opera, I guess they call it, right?
All right, let's talk about the work that we did.
Okay,
in this week. So,
me first.
Yes, Liam first.
Yes, I want to go first.
Go for it.
I wrote a little thing that was kind of my attempt at fusing Through the Looking Glass, Arthurian myth, and The Wizard of Oz.
Arthurian myth,
yeah,
like King Arthur.
Yeah.
Okay.
And some. Red Scare.
Red Scare?
Yeah, you had a lot of communist stuff in there.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's just the that's just the communist world for some reason. That was the first world they went to.
Wait, the world is communist?
Yeah.
But they hate the communists.
I think communism is more of a credible threat in that world than it is in ours.
Yeah.
I can see maybe it as like an alternate.
I mean, if it was 1917, then you'd probably feel different. Differently.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, at, what was it, like the 50s there?
Sort of.
Yeah.
It's like 1960s retrofuturism.
Mm-hmm. Kind of, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, what's the basic premise?
So the idea is there's a dude. He's called the Hatter. He shows up at this lady's house. He's like, oh, like, I want your... He rhymes. I don't know why he talks in rhyme. There's a thing that's supposed to happen. I don't know if I'm going to follow through with it.
It's just like the Batman animated series.
Yeah. And he just wants to look at the mirror. He doesn't want to buy it. And it turns out it's a portal into different worlds. The whole idea is I want it to be about Merlin and the Knights of the Round Table have all been cursed, so their greatest advantage is now their weakness, and the Hatter is Merlin, and he has to talk silly so that no one takes him seriously.
Oh. Wait, so the Hatter is Merlin?
Hatter is Merlin.
So is the hat he wears a pointy hat?
No.
Oh. The Mad Hatter is Merlin. I didn't get that from it at all. That's awesome.
Way later.
Yeah, you'll get that.
And I want the lustful, charming man to be Lancelot, and then you'll meet Galahad, and Galahad's a coward, and kind of with the Wizard of Oz thing was like they have to prove themselves capable of the thing that they are famous for to gain it back.
Wait, if Lancelot,
Alicia is, I was assuming, is Alice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's through the looking glass. So where's the so the worlds they're going to? What's the?
I didn't think that far ahead.
Okay.
If Lancelot is lustful and charming, isn't that how he was?
No, he was the most chaste.
But he totally was boning.
He boned Guinevere. Yeah. Only one. The other knights do that too, but not the queen. He loved one woman. He only loved one woman.
But he lusted after the queen.
No, he did not lust. He loved one woman.
But they boned.
Yes.
I don't know.
That was his downfall. That was the whole thing.
Yeah, he did it. He did it with a limp penis. So it's love.
True. I found the rhyming very annoying, but it worked because
it's supposed to be kind of off-putting.
Supposed to hate him.
No, I don't hate him. I feel for him that he has to live with that. Imagine living in a mind where your thoughts come out in rhyme.
I did like that he quoted somebody and she says, I don't think that's how it went. And he's like, you got to give me a break here.
No, I like that a lot.
I've been cursed
it has to rhyme.
As annoyed as we are with it, imagine living that life. Mm-hmm. And you were forgiven any bad things you do from having to live like that. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I have no idea for the end game. Like, that's my problem with this is I think it's a cool idea.
England needs Arthur.
No clue. Well, one... I thought there should be a whole different world that the myths are based on, so that they don't have to exist in the real world. I don't know who Alicia really is because she's got to have some kind of twist.
Maybe
like, why
she's
the reason.
Maybe she's the Elisha from the Bible who can summon 42 bears at will to kill children. So if they get attacked by children or small people, the bears will come.
Or salmon.
No, sorry, two bears. It wasn't 42.
Oh, because that sounded like a lot.
It was 42 children that the bears killed.
Oh.
that's what I had wrong. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So any more, Doug, thoughts?
I had no idea where you were going with it until, well, I still didn't know where you were going, but like the thing that made it interesting to me was when they popped through the looking glass. And I'm like, all right, where is it going to be? And it's like a 1950s, like, and there's like shops and stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's not what I was expecting. So that was really where it piqued my interest, because as soon as it's like the guy in the hat and he shows up and he starts speaking in rhymes and I'm like, oh, is this supposed to be like the Hatter? And then at one point you just drop it and you just start calling him the Hatter. And I'm like, okay, well, this is looking through the looking glass. I get it. And she's
he makes hats.
Yeah. I didn't pick up on the Arthurian influences. I mean, obviously the knights, like, yeah. I mm-hmm. didn't know like what the hat, if that was going to tie in at all. But until it pulled the rug out from under me where it's like, oh, they're in like a 1950s alternate history sort of thing, that was where I was like, okay, you were definitely doing something different here, because up until that point I'm just like, he's gonna go through it, he's gonna buy it. I guess the point I'm getting at is that it seemed a little long to get to that point where it flips it, because you were laying this like really set path of this is what's happening, and it took so long to get to that moment where he goes through and then you get the reveal that I was taken aback. But maybe that's exactly what you wanted.
It feels tonally kind of like the Dresden Files once they go to that new place. You know, it's like, oh, what's this place? Commies. You know, like, and then you got this magical man dancing around a guy who's trying to beat him up. And then an oddly prophetic man who's making out with some lady. You know, it feels kind of in that tone.
Yeah. Well, it's almost gonna. If I keep going with this, it's gonna be like Kingdom Hearts, where every time they jump into things, it's just totally different world.
I'm for that.
That would be interesting.
And that's, yeah. I think, one of the reasons why I really wanted to do it was do dimension jumping, and then you have no one can say anything. We're like, oh, you can't do that,
right?
Because you've allowed yourself everywhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. It's not you didn't jump into Narnia, like you didn't jump into.
Oh, we're
medieval.
Gonna. Yeah.
Well, no, that's fine. Gonna. But your first world wasn't. Oh, it's vaguely medieval.
I really want to do like a Captain Nemo adventure for some reason.
Underwater?
Yeah.
Yes. Man, that movie, that Disney movie, I've read the book several times now.
Finding Nemo?
No. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
Yeah.
Like, more than any other movie, that part has stuck with me from my childhood of when they're just, like, underwater, like, farming and hunting.
They go to Atlantis?
Yes, that...
That book, man, that was a chore for me. Maybe, well, it's better in French, but just it's just like, and here's this fish, and here's this fish, and
no,
here's this fish, and
is.
Here's this fish. It just keeps going.
I read it on a cruise, and it's pretty hardcore, but I enjoy it.
Yeah. What about you, Doug?
I'm still, I brought the outline for The Planet Without Christmas. It's an updated outline from the last time. I had a breakthrough, and I thought, because I remember last time we talked, I was like, and he's like, what's this antagonist? Like, why does he not like Christmas? Why does he want our hero to leave? And
he's gay.
No. I thought really. I mean, maybe he is.
Is the antagonist because he's gay?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, he might be gay, but that's not why he's a bad guy. I couldn't figure out, like, what it was. I just couldn't think of a good reason for him to hate Christmas or not want Christmas there. Because I'm thinking, like, these people would want Christmas. They would want all this here. And then if he is so badly not wanted there, why does he want to fucking stay? You know, like, it was right. So the breakthrough I had was, what if he tells them about Christmas and they fucking love it and they want more and they just can't get enough and they thank him so hardcore? Like, dude, you brought so much joy. Like, and instead you think this guy's going to be the antagonist, like the mayor who's like always watching kind of skeptically. Mm-hmm. And then he approaches him and you're like, oh no, here it comes. He's going to say, get out of our town, you whatever. You bring in happiness. I hate you. I'm a Grinch. But instead he's like, I can't thank you enough for the hope that you brought these people. We were going to have to leave and now we're going to have to tough it out and thank you. You've done so much. And he's just like, oh no, really, it's nothing. So in other words, like, he's accidentally giving these people all this hope and he's like, no, it's cool. No, great. Yeah, you guys have a Merry Christmas. I got to get out of here. You know, it's like, so it's like, that's kind of flipped the entire thing where now he's like explaining Christmas to them and they're not like asking him to stay like a crazy cult or anything, but they're like, they're just so nice. The antagonist here is the dude himself. His guilt, because they are so fucking nice to him, fixing his ship, putting him up, feeding him nice food when they barely have anything, you know, treating him like this nice visitor, and it's not shady at all, but just honest, and they're just all great people. And he's just like, yeah, tell him about Christmas. And then kids are all excited and they're going to be celebrating Christmas, but it's a very poor Christmas. Like, they don't have anything, but they're still doing it anyway. And this dude's like, I'm going to go back to Earth where Christmas is fucking bullshit. And it's, these people deserve a nice Christmas and I have the ability to give it to them. So he's going to give it to them. There's going to be a moment where instead of him being like kicked off the planet, he's like, I'm sorry, I have to go or I'll never make it home in time. And he does leave willingly and is like, all right, bye, everyone. And they're like, oh, you're a wonderful man. You know, if you ever want to come back, you'll have a home here. He's like, I'm never coming back, bye. And he, like, is halfway home. And then then he's reading the letters that the kids are writing to Santa that he promised he would deliver because they don't have toys. Because they say, wait a minute, if Santa's real, how come we don't have any toys? And he goes, well, did you ever write a letter to Santa? How does he know where you live? And they go, that makes so much sense. So he volunteers to take letters for all the kids back home and deliver them to Santa. And that when he's reading them on his way home, that's where he's like, fuck, like, I'm an asshole. Like, I have all this stuff that I'm sitting on, all decorations.
Imagine
all
those Christmas lists, though. Like,
the whole thing is, this should no longer be, who do we think of playing?
Matthew McConaughey.
It's got to be Hugh Grant now.
Oh, it does.
It is more the villain in his own movies a lot of the time.
I see what you're saying, because like instead of it being like the guy who's really cool and just wants to be the good guy,
yeah,
he's now like, he's the guy who like he is a good guy, but he wants to get home. That's his number one goal. It's like, I can't, his goal can't be, I'm a nice person and I'm going to give Christmas regardless. His goal now is, I want to get home, and he has to change his mind.
He's not the cool neighbor from F is for Family.
Right. Yeah. He's not Mr. Cool Dude who's trying to make everybody happy. He's more of the guy who accidentally made everybody happy and they think he's a better guy than he really is.
Imagine how depressing the Christmas list would be, though. Like, I want the polio vaccine.
Well, it's like, it's them wanting, you know, it's like, I just want mom and dad. That's the thing.
Clean water.
When he finally reads it, they're just like, I just want mom and dad to be happy. You know, I hope the adults find another vein of that ore.
Unobtainium.
No, what was it?
Yeah. It was
uranium.
I think it was oranite.
Yeah. It's uranium.
Uranium,
you can check the court logs. I have them.
Uranium,
silver,
whatever.
Silver bell.
Check with our secretary.
I may have called them both actually because I didn't have a name decided.
But nope.
Regardless. let's get ready for a retraction next week then, because I mean I wrote it. I think, you know, but whatever.
I edited it.
I listened to it. Well, like maybe halfway through.
We helped design it.
I'm gonna look it up. Because I think I wrote it but said something different on the podcast is what I did. But anyway, regardless, so that's the new direction it's going to go in. It's going to be more about this guy having to overcome his
own humbugginess.
Not even humbugginess, but rather just that he just wants to drop everything and leave. Like, he just wants to get away as fast as possible and leave these people. I mean, he's thankful for them helping him, but he's a little selfish at first because all of the presents and decorations he was given, he's supposed to sell those to make up for the loss that he had on that last trip. If he gives it to these people and goes home empty-handed, he basically wasted that entire trip and he doesn't even have the money to do anything.
So what if it's that he takes so much for granted, like he's got, you know, he wants to return to Earth, but these people don't get visitors and he's only going there because...
It was an accident.
And they're like, tell us about where you're from. What's it like? And he's like, oh, yeah, I know about this time it'd be Christmas. What's Christmas like?
And
they're like, well, it sounds great. Tell us more. And he's like, oh, all right. And he just like that kind of thing. But he's like, that's stupid. Everybody's got Christmas.
Yeah. It's a little commercial. It's okay for him to be a little bit more jaded about it.
Right.
Especially when he drops off presents at the first really corporate-y, commercialized version of Christmas. And they're just like, no, I'm not paying you. You're late. And he's like, come on, it's Christmas. Give me some slack. And they're like, okay, well, how about we don't pay you, but instead we give you, you know, we pay you with goods that you can just resell on eBay. And it's just like, I'll cut my losses. Fine, thanks, you know.
It just pop up like a vid screen from his kids, like, you better have gotten me this, 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 and this. And he's just like,
I hate these kids.
I hate you. I'm going back to the planet where people appreciate
it. I hate children.
I'm going to disappear.
Also, I...
sorry, kids, I died in space.
send them a video message. I'm dead, kids.
So on my outline, it is oranite.
You said
uranium.
I may have said uranium in the podcast, but it's oranite on the outline, and the outline does not lie. But the new things I added about them.
Both are made up. No. Time out. Both are completely fake.
It's black and white right there. But the other thing is I named the planet
Ebony and Ivory.
I named the planet Wotan 4. Because
Odin,
like Odin, because Odin is the inspiration for Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's you know, it ties in. You know, it's poetry. It rhymes. And
thank you, Mr. Lucas.
What else did I add? I changed the name of our captain because Captain Christopher, and it's Christmas. It was too
right.
It's too whatever. So now it's Nick is his first name. I can't think of a good last name yet, but right now the placeholder name is Nick Stone because Captain Stone sort of just sounds
Nick
like a
mess.
You know, whatever, kind of a cool spacey. I'm trying to think of a cool futuristic last name like Kelvin or. Something.
Are people going to have different futuristic last names?
Nope.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat. All from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
But in this thing, they will. Yeah. It's like they need to sound like, oh, it's
science.
Kelvin is now a last name.
Supersonic.
Like, yeah, like, well, not supersonic. Well, I thought you were going to say super science. Like, what a super scientist in a pulp super science novel, what would his, you know, what isn't that sort of name?
Kevin.
Anyway.
I just read a pulp super science novel, and the scientists were named things like Martins. And, well, except for the aliens. There's a bunch of aliens in Grey Lensman that are like multi-tentacled dragon monsters.
He could be
that
Brian
are like
Barry.
His best friend, and they're just like, oh, please be careful. Like, just very normal people.
But I also gave the mechanic, his buddy, I gave him the name of Joe Albaz, and his daughter Lucy. I don't have anything picked
Cindy
for
Lou Who.
Yeah, it's just like the kind of, you know, stereotypical Christmassy, like, you know, we've already gone over this, like, what's Christmas, you know, Christmas? Something totally adorable. And I did a little bit, tiny bit more world building. That's all. It's all in the notes. And I think, but hopefully by this time next week, I'll have at least a finished outline of the entire story. Right now, it's still like about half. But I think because of this breakthrough I had, where it's given me a lot more fuel to where the direction of the story is going to go with the character, I think it'll carry me to the end. So
to hit those beats you need.
Exactly. To hit the beats that I was missing.
What about Max? What'd you bring in?
I brought in a story I'm working on, which will be a longer piece called The Rise and Fall of Freed Trent.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about a socialist rebellion in medieval times of what would happen. So it's about troops who rebel against their king and kill them, led by a drunken noble who feels left out. And then he realizes his mistake, and he tries to fix it, realizes he can't, so he dies, and then is canonized by the people he led, who have no idea that he was trying to betray them. And it's going to be about a socialist society that's propping up in medieval times and how it's crushed. So I started out with...
We know they lose.
Yeah, the beginning of the book is about...
Well, socialism always loses.
Yeah, the only survivor in a slave pit. And he reminisces 30 years ago about how, you know, actually living and how great this guy was. And then through the story, you'll find out that the guy was just a drunk who got in the wrong place and was trying to fix everything and couldn't.
So this is like Bolshevik Revolution.
I really enjoyed the world building. The guy who's the narrator needs to be a stronger character. Though you need him to have a voice where, like, you kind of got that's where you're going with it. You need to hit it with a hammer. Like,
yes, I will.
You need to know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Not fully formed, but you need to have a better sense of who he is now when he's telling the story, so that you can contrast it with his earlier self.
Tone of the story as it is right now, I don't think it would be out of line to actually have him introduce himself to the reader.
I could do that,
you know, or I couldn't remember. It wasn't in first person.
I could have him called out.
Yeah, well, you could say so and so was this person who did this, and
I can have the mine pit owner call him out or something, and as an example of.
But I mean, especially if you're going to have someone tell a story, that part of the story needs to be in first person, right?
Yeah, no. But it'll go into that,
or at least from his perspective, he needs to be the one.
Part of it's going to be from his perspective, and then part of it's going to be from the perspective of the Duke. Who messed up and caused all this.
Who's dead?
Well, he dies eventually.
Okay.
Because he tries to sell everyone out to the king, the new king, to gain his freedom back. He's like, hey, I messed up. I'm a noble. These guys suck. Let me help you. And they're like, no, we're going to kill you. So then he rides out and gets killed because he doesn't want to be caught. And then everyone else still believes that he is the greatest.
So is this going to be a longer project for you?
Yes, this will be a more of a novel length.
So are we going to get more of this next week?
I can do that, yes.
Okay, cool. I would like to see some consistent stuff from you guys because I'm about to do that myself.
Yes, so that'll be I'll continue with that. I'll work on that next week. Is there any other? I was really wondering the beginning, if that is a catching beginning is my problem. Yeah.
It was dry. I need a bit more of a
ultraviolence.
Introduction would help, actually. Yeah. Just the main character, like, so, like, it doesn't have to be Call Me Ishmael. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it can be Martin worked every day at this, and he did this all day, and he was this, and he only made one mistake when he did this, and that's what wound him up here. And then you can have the guy start talking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, things I bring in are just, I just sit down and write and then present them.
As for me, this week I turned in probably the most finished outline that I will turn in for the novel I'm writing. And I have it at currently 35 chapters, and the reason I changed it to, I added chapters to the outline. The reason I did that is so I could see what portions of the book are lacking in content, and I just start filling them in. This will probably be the last time I turn in an outline, because I'm going to just be writing the book and then filling out the outline behind the scenes to make sure I get everything. And that's pretty much it. That's it. Do you guys have any thoughts?
I mean, it was a longer version of the other two outlines. Yeah, so,
I'm waiting for that review of the book, by the way.
it was an even longer version of the outline that I read.
Yeah, that'll be great. It's like, wow, yeah, that was much longer. Good job.
I mean, I'm just looking forward to reading an actual excerpt from it, so, you know.
I liked it this way. It's very brutal, though. Nothing to soften the blows. No prose to soften the blows, if you will.
Right.
Oh, I wonder if that's what having a dad is like. You're just like, oh, that's hurtful.
That's new. I think a lot about Lord of the Flies.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to.
when reading the book, anytime something gets really violent, the author changes his style of prose to become much more poetic almost, and the descriptions are much more metaphorical, and it does this kind of misdirection and then brings you back to it at the very end. As soon as it's over, it like reminds you of what just happened, like, so it's like, oh yeah, all that you read about was actually just this horrible thing and you enjoyed it, so there you go. That's on you.
Like that, but I also just don't mind
violence,
the old ultraviolence, describing ultraviolence.
I want it to be relatively accessible, which is something I'm struggling with, because I don't know how to, I don't know the tone I want to use for it. And I've been writing the first
Phantom
chapter.
Tollbooth.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm okay. Here's my problem. I'm having a problem starting it. I've rewritten the first page like 9 times, because I don't know if I want to start with a flashback or his dream, or I want some kind of, I don't know what the word is, where a foreshadowing of where this is going and the kind of story it's going to be, so that when you start the book, you have context of you're not just reading about some kid starting his day, you know. You're like, okay, what's this about? Like, you know, it's like even Harry Potter, when it starts, it's about Privet Drive.
You're doing the wrong version.
I'm doing
of Harry
the wizard
Potter,
people, yeah. Do, but it starts with it's like, Gandalf, the oldest wizard in the books.
What book are you talking about?
Oh, how the mango Rita talks.
Dumbledore, yeah. And he produces a street darkener to siphon the light from mankind's bulbs. So, but you know, but that gives you context for then watching Harry in his house with his shitty family.
And you know something more is going to happen than
exactly. So that's what I'm having trouble with right now. And right now I have it where it's a dream, but it's not actually a dream. It's like, he's jumping to a different location, just like he is about to, but he doesn't know that, and it feels like it might have been a dream. I'm starting to think that's kind of lame, but I can't think of anything more prudent.
Masturbation.
That's
open
a great
the book.
Way to
open the book.
That's how I start every day.
that's how I start every
as
day.
The reader, as the reader, as the reader.
You
got
to clear your
books.
Head to read the book.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, starting with the dream is all right, but if you can hint that it's more than just a dream, other than just the intensity, like the vividness of it,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a little cheesy, but the first thing that comes to mind is like, if it's the you know, like this red sun and like this weird planet and the weird location, and right. If it's just like he opens the doors and it blasts him back, and like when he wakes up, he's like, he falls out of bed, and you're like, oh shit, okay, maybe it was just a dream. But if it's like Malcolm hardly noticed the red dust that was on his shoes or something.
I have that. It's not red dust. I never say that like there's anything physically, but his hand still hurts after, because he grabs a hot doorknob.
Yeah, or it has like
there.
The taste in his mouth like you were describing.
Yeah, he's coughing still, but those could still be in his head.
Right.
They're not, but I want to have that kind of feeling, that mm-hmm. doubt, you know, reasonable doubt. That's what I'm working on.
Okay,
right now.
Lawyer.
I guess if you're being, you want to have the reasonable doubt, but if you make it too vague, they're just going to think it's a dream and that it's just a random, just it's like, oh, I've seen this before, dream, story begins,
sure,
you
sure.
know, whatever. So.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm going for. I guess we'll see next week when I turn in chapter one or most of chapter one.
I'm excited.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, I guess there's not a lot. There's not a lot to criticize
until it's done.
Until there's content.
I want pros.
All right, you'll get it. You'll get amateurs and pros.
Pros before rows.
Shut the fuck
up. Keep turning in outlines, which is just like rows of stuff.
Well, he turned it.
No, you get it?
He turned it in poetry.
I don't think you guys get it.
I turned it in poetry?
It's lines, you know?
Yeah, rows and prose rhyme. I get it.
Get it?
Were we going to discuss a topic today, or does that suffice?
I think I was going to talk about, for a subject, our audio issues that we've had.
I don't want to pull back that.
Yeah, I don't
much.
Really want to do that either. So, do you guys want to jump right into
trailer?
The Bad Story trailers?
Yeah.
Yes. Let's do it.
All right. Here you go.
All right, now time for Bad Story trailers.
Got a little thing we can do.
It's like our name, but different, but still similar.
Oh, also, I want to change the name of the podcast to Pod Fiction.
Like Pulp Fiction?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the Bad Story Trailers segment of the podcast, we throw a raw idea or two into the mix and try to... No, we don't do any of that. That's old.
You got nothing but old shit.
Get out of here.
All right, hang on.
We take a random number generator.
All right, so we've got this list of 100 genres, and we've got two 10-sided dice that we're going to use to figure out... We're going to roll them three times... And pick three different genres and either use one, two, or all of them. And
so far, I think we've always tried to use all of them. But that's not mandatory. It's just, you know.
And then we come up with the idea for a movie that we're never going to make. Well, a movie that is not...
That will not exist. Yeah.
Will not exist. And then we come up with the trailer for that and record it for you guys. So.
Until someone at Sony realizes, like, this is the best way to make movies.
Yeah.
The cheapest, like... $10,000, man, we'll sell you this idea. Well, no questions asked.
Isn't that what Netflix did with like
give me $10,000 a week, I'll do it.
What's their House of Cards? They just like rolled out like people like Kevin Spacey, people like this.
Let's I have no idea.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was completely put together by what people would like and then became.
Oh,
like,
you're right.
Biggest.
No, I heard about that. It's like they did a study on like the popular things that were on Netflix. So the data they mined from Netflix of what people rated really high quality were often Kevin Spacey films, David Fincher films, so on and so on.
And
so they got David Fincher to come in. Kevin
and
Spacey
then the British House of Cards.
And the British House of Cards. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow, yeah.
So they manufactured a hit. Like,
that's great.
Yep.
Smart.
Yeah. This is what we're doing.
So let's manufacture a hit ourselves.
I guess every time that you make a movie... And it becomes a hit. You have manufactured one,
right? But you know, like from the get go, they set out to make something that was the numbers. The numbers said it would be successful.
Well, I mean, and it is.
Is Josh rolling today?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
All right.
I'm rolling. You guys ready? We're gonna have our first number here.
45.
What's 45, Doug?
The other side here.
Here, Liam, you go next, then Max.
Oh, right. This is an old one. The one we've done before, Sword and Sorcery.
Okay, Sword and Sorcery. All right. That's like Conan.
Yeah. 19. Crime.
Okay.
Okay, we're getting somewhere. 93.
Techno thriller.
We got to re-roll. You can't do sword and sorcery.
Well, no, then we just go with the two. We just go with crime.
No. Re-roll. I'm calling a re-roll.
All the way through?
No. Just
the last one?
Techno thriller is out.
I will re-roll.
We can just leave out techno thriller. I like sword and sorcery crime because crime movie... Is like it's not.
What's the lesson?
Crime isn't Law and
69.
Order.
We did this one before. Romance.
No. Nope. Oh,
all right. So we're down to crime
and sword and sorcery.
Sword and sorcery heist film.
Yeah, because crime is like The Godfather. Yeah. It's not like a mystery or something like that. So
yeah, it says here about a crime that is being committed or was committed. It can also be an account of a criminal's life. It often falls into the action or adventure genres.
Scarface, but with swords.
So, yeah, like Scarface.
Scarface with swords.
Godfather, Goodfellas. Yes.
That could be the name of the movie. Scarface with swords. I would go see that.
Ocean's 11 is a crime movie?
Yeah. Well, it's a heist film. Yeah.
Be called Scarface.
I really like heist films because they're so mechanical.
But would you say heist is a different genre than crime?
Well, no, there's a lot of crossover between the genres. Mm-hmm.
All heist films are crime films.
Read
not
Sword
all crime
and
films are heist film.
Sword and Sorcery.
Is this not just a D&D campaign?
It's a blend of heroic fantasy, adventure, and frequent elements of the horrific, in which a mighty barbaric warrior hero is pitted against both human and supernatural adversaries.
This sounds awesome. Okay,
Thieves Guild. That's the name of the movie. Is Thieves Guild?
All right. Well,
sold.
So let's think. Sword and Sorcery is typically Conan.
Yeah, that's what it says, barbaric hero, you know, against human and supernatural adversaries.
So think of the world of Hyboria.
Thinking of it.
A crime syndicate, because Conan becomes a thief for a while and gets involved in like underworld crimes and stuff. Yeah. And he
does everything.
He becomes he's a thief for a long time. Like he robs the Temple of the Elephant.
He's a pirate too. So
yeah, and a king. Yeah. He steals that big bowl. All right.
Smoke some weed.
No. He steals a big golden bowl. Steals a big golden bowl, and he's like, "Well, they're just leaving it out there in the center." It's like, "Well, because it's because it's blessed, and the hounds of sovereignty." He's like, "Fuck that," and goes and steals it. Yeah, I love Conan. There's a lot of Conan crime films where Conan's the criminal. But what about somebody in one of those cities?
Can we just do The Departed only?
Yeah, like Donnie Brasco, where he has to infiltrate the crime.
Undercover?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So for it to be sword and sorcery and crime, what's our protagonist? Is our protagonist a good guy, or is it somebody who becomes like...
Give me a coin. Let's just keep doing it random.
What's is it a criminal or is it a guy who becomes like the new kingpin, like even City of God or something?
Ooh, I like that. Even, rising up.
Even is good guy, odd is bad guy. We got even.
Okay.
Good guy. So good guy who becomes a bad guy. Like Godfather.
Like a crime story. Yeah.
Yeah. Like where he's the war hero and then eventually takes over the family business. So how about you guys familiar with
what about Thieves' Guilt?
No.
I think that's a great name for a short story.
Yeah.
Yes, but not this movie. Also, shut the fuck up or I'll stab you.
What is this about? What is this?
This is our thing now.
Every week I want him to say, shut the fuck up. Or, God damn it.
All right, so we've got...
Good guy who eventually goes bad because it's a crime story.
Now, is he undercover? Does he get in too deep?
I can't imagine that there's like a police force. In sword and
there totally can be.
There can be like guardsmen.
Yeah, but like, the only thing is, and they're often
someone in undercover is like, that's too complicated for a sword and sorcery. It could just be a guy who's just like, you know, I've been a poor fisherman and nobody respects me. And if I start doing this on the side, like he just falls into it. The same
becomes
way,
like Walter White.
Yeah, the same way Scarface just sort of falls into it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's the guy in a new town. They're just like, we don't like you here. You're an asshole.
So then what's his initial character?
So,
where'd you get a scar like that? Tough guy eating pineapple?
God damn it.
Sounds like one big turkey waiting to get plucked. All right. So let's say he needs to come in from out of town, right? This needs to be somebody who's looking for a new life.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, so he comes...
Should he be a war hero?
He arrives in on a boat. I think nobody knows who he is. He arrives in on a boat. He's like some peasant, comes to a new town, and then just event after event after event, people start looking to him to handle certain things, and then he becomes more important and more important and more
important. He's seen some shit.
The cooler.
What, Frieza's brother?
No. God damn it.
He's just willing to do the job. Right. Other people like chicken out, and he's just like, "Well, I'm here, and I need the money because I'm here in town, and fuck it, I'm gonna throw the throwing dagger, you know." And then, all right,
What was your goblin's name?
Grog.
Yeah, Grog the goblin. What if it's he's like involved in a bar fight and kills somebody important? That's a good way to start.
So he accidentally doesn't. I want to say ingratiate.
I was gonna say accidentally starts a gang war.
Kind of like Yojimbo, a little bit.
Dude, Yojimbo. The whole plot is just Yojimbo. We're doing that.
No, that's been done so many times.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's so good.
What about, so.
Also, we're not actually making this. We're just doing it. Let's just go.
So he comes into town and he gets involved in like a bar fight and kills like a big, big hotshot criminal. And then
the other side.
And
like,
then he has to join the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other side's like, let's do this. And he's like, oh, I keep to my own, man. They're like, oh, where are you from? Like what's the story? Like they want to know more about him,
like the Bruce Willis classic Last Man.
And he needs a job. You mean Yojimbo?
Yeah.
But yeah, if he needs a job, needs some coin in his purse.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, I'm not joining with you guys, but I do this, and they're like, oh shit, this guy's probably got connections. He probably knows this back from the old world where he came from. We need whatever city he's arriving at, and whatever old place he came from is just a shitty place. And they think he was involved in some kind of crime syndicate there, but you just don't know. Stranger in a strange land. You don't know, as the audience, you don't know very much about this guy, except for probably like Scarface, right? Mm-hmm. Like he just wasn't very important where he came from, but now he's like, I'm going to be the kingpin.
Yeah.
It's going to happen, just bit by bit.
First you get the money, then you get the power.
Then you get the khakis, then you get the women.
Mm-hmm. I like khakis. I look good in khakis.
Okay. Well, all right. So what's our hero's name? All right, so what are our two places? He comes
Byzantium.
I don't want it to be exactly like Scarface where he comes in on a refugee boat.
Yeah.
So what if he's just like
Yeah, I just think he needs to be a poor person who just he fucked up wherever he was and now he's just starting it over.
So he like
Avalon.
Agreed to work on a fishing boat. When it put into port, they let him out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got like a couple coins and that's it.
Yeah.
So that's where our movie starts, yeah. Right?
And this is the big city. This
so
is
it's the
capital
the born
city. Or
identity.
No, he's not he doesn't have amnesia. And nobody's after him for his past. Like, yeah right. His past isn't important
but
for the
he's
story.
He's on a fishing boat.
It's just like Godzilla.
It's like Morrowind.
So it'd be more of a mistaken identity kind of thing.
I don't think it's a mistaken identity.
Yeah.
Where he
it's just kind of...
People think he is.
He's mysterious because he doesn't say it. Like Scarface.
Yeah.
Like,
my
you don't know what he got up to.
My favorite mistaken identity is the...
Well, it's more like Yojimbo. If
Inspector
it's,
General?
Not saying,
yeah.
You know, like,
has anyone seen Inspector General? Danny Kaye?
Mm-mm.
Movie from a long time ago.
It's really good. I like Danny Kaye.
I don't know who that is.
He was Hans Christian Andersen in the film Hans Christian Andersen.
Another film I haven't seen.
Well, you are fucking up. What about White Christmas?
Nope.
Holiday Hotel?
Nope.
Holiday Inn? Holiday Inn.
It's about the French Revolution, and he's in jail because he's like a snake oil guy, and then they think that he is a inspector general from Paris, so they get all scared and like start to be like, oh, no, sorry. And then
that sounds like a comedy. Is it a comedy?
Yeah.
A mistaken identity comedy.
I want to remake it.
So this is Scarface, Goodfellas, American Gangster, in a sword and sorcery thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Five-O Goes West.
Of course.
I don't know how Five-O Goes West ties into it.
Because when we
more
look,
like a, more like an American tale.
When, yeah, when mm-hmm. we look at the moon, we look at the same moon.
Yeah, mm-hmm. there's going to be another girl that's been kidnapped, and he's going to save her.
That's not a crime story.
What's our character's name?
Jeremy.
Is our character human?
Golgoth the Night Demon.
Well, according to the rule of sword and sorcery, the main character is usually the big guy.
Barbarous,
you know.
Doesn't have to be.
Doesn't have to be.
Because there's other sword and sorcery tales where he's not big, like Elric is a very frail man with the blood sword.
His name is Fang.
And there's also a blend of human and horrific supernatural elements.
Okay. Yeah, it's very. There's a lot of Cthulhu mythos.
Half orc.
So, okay, what if he becomes
half orc?
What if he becomes like a sorcerer? That's like the crime. That's the bad.
Oh,
bad
dude, what
mojo.
If it's not even what if it's not even like a gang that like really likes him? What if he accidentally kills a sorcerer? And like another sorcerer is like, I've been after that guy for a long time. How the fuck did you kill him? He never lets anyone get that close. And it's just like, I just stabbed him, you know? Like, I didn't.
Yeah.
And it's like, then you're the dude, then you're fast or you're like lucky.
Or he just doesn't say, like, and it's like, dude, you killed him? It's like, yeah, I killed him. It's like, why? Well, he pissed me off.
Yeah, you know? And they're like, you should go talk to my boss. Like, and it's if it's just a sorcerer with like five underlings and not like a whole gang, like just five apprentices and stuff, and like, you got to talk to him. And then he's just like, I can teach you the dark ways. You know, you can learn this. And he's just
and then he ends up killing that guy and getting the books that he won't show.
Sith.
Well, Matt, we can use magic as money
instead of the yayo.
Yeah, money and
yeah.
coke.
Yeah. Y'all got that magic for you, bro.
Yeah,
I get that magic.
You can have like a woman and you sacrifice her for dark power.
Yeah. Okay. So all right. So it's a dude comes in from the sea,
mm-hmm.
On a fishing boat, barters passage, and gets. He's clever, but he wasn't a sorcerer.
Right.
And gets mixed up in the dark world of sorcery and becomes the ultimate sorcerer of the land.
Until it's his downfall. So this is really the bad guy.
Oh, no,
for
no.
Your next
no downfall.
D&D campaign.
No downfall. Well, this is all rise. All rise.
There's this. All right.
It's not a proper crime movie until you have the tragic downfall.
Well,
that's
in our trailer,
thing.
we don't mention the downfall.
Right. I'm just saying.
I don't remember which Conan story this was in, but I think it's where he's trying to rob this tower. And I don't think it's Tower of the Elephant.
No, it's not the Tower of the Elephant.
But one of my favorite moments is there's this sorcerer. The whole reason he wants revenge.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because he killed his friend.
Right. The servants of this powerful sorcerer killed Conan's friend, and he's like, I'm gonna go kill that motherfucker, and like climbs his tower, kills all his guards, does all this crazy shit, and then he gets to the top, And the reason why what those people were transporting that they killed his friend for, that nobody knew about, was this elixir of like eternal life that makes you immortal. And Conan kicks open the fucking door of this guy at the top of the tower who had no idea Conan was there. And he's like, "You killed my friend." He's like covered in blood, you know, just killed everybody on his way up. And the dude's just holding the elixir. And he's like, "For this, this is why you did it, you piece of shit." And he goes to grab him. He's like, no, wait, listen, this is elixir. It grants you eternal life. This is the reason for all of this. He's like, if there's plenty, we could share it. And he's like, you want to live forever? Fine. And like opens his mouth and shoves the bottle in, makes him drink, and like breaks his teeth as he shoves it in, and then cuts off his head. And then he pulls the bottle out, and and he's grabbing his wine, and it's been like hours, and he's at the top of this tower. Everybody's dead in it, and he's just drunk, sitting in this sorcerer's throne, just drinking and holding this man's severed head. And he's like, fucking idiot. And then the sorcerer's mouth starts moving like it's trying to curse at him and scream. And he wakes up and goes, oh, I guess it did work. And then he throws it in the fire. it's amazing. So it needs to be like that.
Yeah, that guy's rise and fall, where it's like he just pissed off the wrong group of adventurers, local adventurers who rise up and get him.
In a tavern?
Yeah, but the whole thing is that wouldn't be in the trailer. That would be the...
No, you're right. Sure, it wouldn't be in the trailer. But just the idea that he's that kind of villain.
Well, see,
I would imagine that
he's the kind of guy like Conan. Like, he has a bunch of moments like that where he just surprises everybody in the way that Don Corleone does before he's the Don.
He just succeeds by, now I'm going to go forward.
I don't give a shit about all of this social... armor that you've put up around yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to take it.
Yeah.
It's like my knife goes into you.
Yeah, my knife, your gut. Yeah. There.
It's done. I'm not scared of you. All right.
So what's his name?
Let's pick... All right.
Felfang.
It needs to be a peasant name, right? What if it's something like...
Simon.
Derek.
Bog.
Done.
Or even Grog. Like Bog. I think Bog is better because it's three letters. It's even more peasant.
Yes.
You know? It's like what's like a
what's short, what's a good, short for Bogolomule.
what's a good title for a sorcerer? Like the terrible, the mighty, the
grand.
I'm almost thinking for him it'd be a little more apathetic.
Yeah, alliteration.
Bog the apathetic.
The apathetic bog. Is this like a spinoff of a Neverending Story?
No, swap of sadness.
You sink in the apathetic bog. You're like, I don't give a fuck. Hey man, do you want to get out of the bog? You're stuck in it. Oh, I don't care.
Bog, the terrible, the great. Just it seems too even high and mighty for the.
No, like, I think it needs to be over the top. Right?
Bog, like, the really really bad.
What if it's
the magnanimous?
What's another word for terrible?
Or, yeah, like I was just about to say, what's like someone be like, that dude's fucking. Because
like
evil.
Oz like, the great and terrible is something like that.
Yeah.
Bog the despicable. Bog the wretched.
Abominable.
The abominable bog. Yes. that sounds like an object rather than a person. Yeah.
Maybe bog is too. It just sounds too much like a place.
Well, if we
no
say grog,
say
it'll.
It.
Well, it's if we put it afterwards, it'll sound like it. Say bog the abominable.
Yes, I like it.
Abominable is okay. What about?
Please don't make me say abominable.
Abominable.
No, in fact, that's out because no one will be able to record that.
I could say it.
Abominable.
Yeah.
Abominable.
Abominable. Bog the abomination.
No, I think. All right. What's extreme?
What's his sorcerer name? Like he's gonna.
That's what I'm
bog
saying. But even the idea that he's like extremely evil to me almost like doesn't make sense. Where he like.
What's his Heisenberg? He needs a Heisenberg name.
Yeah.
Bog, bad guy. Bad guy, bog.
Well, would he go by Bog after he rises?
That's what I'm saying. He would change his name.
I don't know. Conan goes by Conan even when he becomes king.
But that's fucking Conan.
But that's his
name. Like,
this is not
Conan
Bog.
Conan doesn't want a different name. This guy's like, fuck my old life. I am no longer Bog. I am
Stacy.
Motherfucker, you know, of the night. like,
well, but I think that's...
Night Render.
Well, I think that's the what's good for a title, though. It could be like his original name, you know what I mean? Where it's Bog the Horrendous. Something like that. That one's pretty good. Bog the Unspeakable.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think Unspeakable does the job of a title best, right?
Bog That's what the they would say about him. What he's done is unspeakable.
Yeah, like, you Bog know, the like... Unspeakable.
The bustling town of Briefport was a city of change.
You look like shit, stranger. Had a hard journey? What do they call you?
For one traveler, it was a chance at something he'd never had. A new life.
Name's Bog. The rest don't matter. Oh, shit. Sorry about that. Let me buy you a drink.
Do you know what you've done, you grub-soiling scum? I'll devour your soul! Demons, to me! Come to my...
Sorry, I didn't catch all that.
Hot fire, mister. Have you any idea who that was? Ictris the Ghastly. You just gutted one of the most powerful sorcerers in the world.
Really? You don't look like much right now.
Even the darkest of paths opens to a man with enough ambition.
So you're the one everyone's been talking about. I was wondering if I could have a word.
If you can teach me that little trick, you can have as many as you like.
Then I believe we can be friends.
I don't keep friends long.
Bog found that his new life only led in one direction. Straight to the top.
Bug, that tome is forbidden. I don't know how you got your hands on it, but you need...
What I need is an easier way to get rid of bodies.
Watch one man's rise to terrible power in Bog the Unspeakable.
Thank you everyone for listening to Bad Storytellers, now presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream us from Google Play. I've been your host, Josh LaForge, and I'd like to thank my writing group again, Doug Banks, Liam Malone, and Max Wessel. Now remember, as listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow to find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming. Visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and Bad Storytellers on all your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
Bug, you know that tome is forbidden. I don't know how you got your hands on it, but you need to... Eek, you have stabbed me. No. Oh, still with the stabbing. Oh, no, again. Please, no, fourth time.
You're a wizard. Why are you still stabbing me?
You're stabbing me so much. I'm tiny Jewish.
Oh, Jesus Christ. This is ridiculous.
You just, that's all you,
I can only do it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.